kind of loses its meaning. Or if you see it spelled, like the letters just fade away, they don't mean anything anymore. Or maybe you have noticed that when you have like an object in your house that you see over and over again, you can kind of forget that it's there. Well, that's what we're looking at today. Today we're looking at a story in our gospel reading where we see a symbol of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And that is a symbol that we have heard over and over and over again. And it's one of those things where when you don't ask, you know what it means. But then when you do ask, you're like, well, what does that really mean? And we can think that we understand. Lamb of God. Oh, yeah. Jesus shed his blood for our forgiveness. Boop. End of story. Next question. That's an easy one. Well, sometimes it's good for us to just stop and look at something that's really familiar and re-examine it and try to see if we can look at it with fresh eyes. And that's what I want us to do this morning as we look at this gospel story in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. If you want to open your Bibles and look there, there's really two parts to this story. There's part one is a confusing statement. We're going to look at what John says. And then the second half of the story is a compelling question. So let's dive right into the first half of this story. We've got John the Baptist. Remember John? We learned about him last week. John the Baptist is the wild man, right? He's out in the wilderness. He's got his camel skin on, and he's eating locusts and honey, and he's baptizing, and he's a wild man. And last week, Pastor Mark showed us that he baptized Jesus, and Jesus saw his identity and his mission. Well, this story in John, the Apostle John's account, we see what happened just after Jesus' baptism. And John looks up at Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I got to be honest with you for a second. Lamb? Really? What does that really mean? I mean, let's look at this next picture. I'm not going to lie to you. When I first saw this lamb image, I was like, it really doesn't inspire me to anything. Because culturally, in our culture, let's just try to hear it with fresh ears, okay? The lamb. What does it mean? It would kind of be like if you were running for office today and somebody looked at you and said, "Look, our candidate, the cute fuzzy bunny who's going to make the world unicorns and rainbows again." Right? Because a lamb for us is just a cute, fuzzy little creature. So why a lamb? What's this symbol all about? For Israel, the lamb was a symbol of the nation. Now, we understand about projecting ideas onto animals, don't we? What's the United States animal? The bald eagle, right? When you look at this picture of a bald eagle as a United States citizen, you become teary-eyed and you think about these ideals of freedom, you know, soaring high and power and all of that. But the truth is that a bald eagle is not much more than a glorified buzzard. I mean, really, it eats roadkill. Up in Alaska, it hangs out by the garbage dump. I mean, it's just a bird. But we project ideals onto this creature, right? Well, you know, when I was in high school, a freshman in high school back in Michigan, our high school mascot was the Oaks. Woo! "We're going to drop acorns on you." Like, what is that all about? So I was really glad when we moved to Minnesota my sophomore year and I became a Cardinal, because at least I could, like, scratch you or something. And so we understand what an animal being a symbol is all about. And so for the nation of Israel, the lamb was actually a national symbol. And let's just look at what this symbol was. There's really two layers of this. It goes all the way back to the first story, the formational story of Israel, when they were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And we all know this story. But God told them to take a little lamb and to take the blood of this lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. And when the death angel passed through Egypt and he saw the blood on the doorpost, what did the death angel do? Passed over that house, right? And spared the life of the firstborn son. And so for Israel, the lamb didn't really wasn't about the lamb itself. The lamb actually represented God's faithfulness to his people. The fact that God delivered the nation of Israel out of slavery into freedom. Now, 1,000 years later, Israel found themselves in a very similar situation. And we talked about this all through Advent as we looked at the story on the prophet Isaiah. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he presented this picture of hope for Israel that was in bondage once again in exile in Babylon. This picture of a leader who would come and deliver them and lead them back to Israel. And this picture is, he's called a suffering servant. And what's really interesting to me, anyway, is that when we read the New Testament, when we read the stories in the Gospels, the New Testament itself was actually written in the Greek language. But the people who were living the stories spoke a different language. The people of Israel in that day actually spoke the Aramaic language. And so one of the disciplines that New Testament scholars do is they take the Greek of the Gospels and they try to translate it back into Aramaic and see what was really in the original. And so in this account, we see something really wonderful. When John the Baptist looked up and he said of Jesus, the Lamb of God, in Aramaic, the word can actually mean servant as well. So what he's really saying to Israel is, behold, Israel, the servant of God, the Lamb of God. Because what was Israel looking for at that moment in their history? Israel was under the oppression of Rome. Israel was once again in a form of captivity, and they were looking for someone to deliver them from the Roman Empire. And so John the Baptist is saying to them, here is our Lamb of God who is going to deliver us from this oppression. It connected with them. Now, 2,000 years later, we say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does it mean for us? After 2,000 years of theology and 2,000 years of church history, it has come to mean for us that the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, was shed for our forgiveness, for the forgiveness of our sins. End of story. Now, we could stop right there and feel very comfortable with that. We could stop and celebrate that because it's true. It's a good symbol for us. But the story continues. And this is what I was really captured with this week as I was studying this passage. Because the next part of the story, Jesus asks a compelling question. So let's look at this. It's really a simple scene. It says, you can look, it's in verse 35. We see it's the next day. And John the Baptist is out doing his thing again, and Jesus comes by and he says, behold the Lamb of God, the servant of God who takes away the sin of the world. And two of John's disciples leave John, and they go to follow Jesus. Now, there's a simple dialogue between Jesus and these two disciples. It would be easy for us to gloss right over this section and think, oh, this is just like incidental details that John, the gospel writer, put in here, and it's no big deal. Because here's the simple dialogue. He says, Jesus turns around and he looks at the two disciples and he says, what are you looking for? And the disciples say, hey, we want to see where you're staying. And Jesus says, well, come and see. And so they go and they spend the day with Jesus, and Andrew goes and gets Simon. Boop, end of story, move on. But I want to stop us there and caution us to not move too quickly. Because I believe that, first of all, when the gospel writers, when John wrote this gospel, There is no incidental detail. Everything in the gospel has meaning. And when John tells this story, I think John is trying to make a very important point. Because I think that in this simple dialogue between Jesus and the disciples, we see the actual gospel presented to us. Here's what I mean. Jesus turns around and he looks at the disciples. And I would say he looks at us. And he says, what is it that you are looking for? What are you looking for? See, because what was Israel looking for? When John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, Israel was looking for someone to deliver them from the Romans. You know, all throughout Jesus' life, people were after Jesus to get something out of him. It's like, oh, there's Jesus. I'm sick. He's going to heal me. There's Jesus. I'm hungry. He's going to feed me. There's Jesus. He's going to deliver me. And you know, today I think it's not that much different. Today it's very easy for us in our modern world to look at Jesus, this Lamb of God, and see him for nothing more than the forgiveness of sins that we get out of him. So we look at Jesus and we say, what's in it for me? Now, one of my favorite authors is a guy named Dallas Willard. And in a book called The Great Omission, he writes something that's kind of shocking, but I want to read it to you. He says, the gospel of sin management produces vampire Christians who want Jesus for his blood and little else. That's in your face, isn't it? Willard is basically saying that we have reduced the gospel into the blood of Jesus to pay for my sin. Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, what are you looking for? And see, I think that in the response to Jesus that the disciples give, we see the full gospel here. Because they don't say, hey, Jesus, we want you to deliver us. Hey, Jesus, we want you to heal us. What do they say to Jesus? They say, teacher, we want to know where you are staying. Now, the word there is meno. And that word has all kinds of meaning for John in his gospel. It is the word to remain, to abide, to dwell. And so in this simple story, the Apostle John is giving us the full picture of what the gospel story is. Jesus is saying, he responds to the disciples, come and see where I'm staying. Because this is a foreshadow of what's coming in the rest of the gospel. At the end of the story, in John chapter 15, which I think is the heart of the gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, if you meno with me, if you remain in me, I will remain with you, and you will bear much fruit. The disciples approach Jesus with a desire to know where he is, and they want to get to know him. You see the difference? You see, I think that today in our modern world, the gospel has been reduced to a transaction. It can be reduced to a transaction. It's been reduced to a simple exchange of goods. We have a sin problem. Jesus' blood has paid the sin problem. We cash in on the free gift. We're baptized, we're confirmed, and we say, thanks God, it's been a pleasure doing business with you, and we just move on with our life. But the God, that right there, that model, would be kind of like showing up to your wedding day, saying I do to your spouse, signing the marriage license, and then leaving and never interacting with your spouse again. Now, technically, are you married? Yeah. But do you have a marriage? No. See, the gospel is so much more than that. Jesus invites us into a relationship with God. He says, come and see what I'm all about. Because a relationship is dynamic and vital. And when we remain with Christ and live with Christ, he transforms us from the inside out. So we come to this familiar icon of the Lamb. And the question is, what do we see today when we see the Lamb? Do we just see the blood of Jesus that pays for my sin, and that's it? Or do we see a symbol of God's love for us, God's invitation for us to come and dwell with him, to be changed by him, and to make a difference in the world and to live a vital life? So Jesus looks at us and he asks the question, what is it that you are looking for? Let's stand together.